Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
All right, welcome back. We are into the 5 o'clock hour, which means one thing. It's time for our daily visit with Jeff Calkins from the Jeff Calkins Show, Jeff Calkins from the Daily Memphian. Jeffrey, how are you today?
I'm good, except I don't get my James Taylor music.
I don't know what. I just gave Ben the look like, what in the hell is happening here?
What in the world? What happened to my James? I can't talk without James Taylor music.
I was just waiting. I kept reading, and I was waiting and waiting.
I'm just kidding. I'm amazed. I told Ben, it's like riding a bike. He's back in the studio.
I know.
Push the button.
Yep.
Expert as ever. Anyway, it's nice. It's nice to have sunshine and a beautiful day and light. Light. We have light. It's light.
Finally, although I wasn't expecting the rain this morning, I did a little barbecuing yesterday, and I left my grill open to let it finish cooling off, and it got rained on this morning. So that was a bit of a downer. I mean, it rains every day in Memphis. I should have known better.
Yes, it does. Yes,
Hey, I thought about you the other day when the reports came out about Antonio Brown, that he was going to the Buffalo Bills, and then he wasn't because he dumped all over Buffalo, said he didn't want to go there. Why does Buffalo get such a bad rap? I'll be serious right now. Is it simply because of the winters and the snow and the cold? Like, all the pictures,
Buffalo seems like a charming place.
Seems fine.
I really do mean this, is that there are – it's. I've said this a million times, but there are – It's easy for me to be a Memphian because I'm from Buffalo. And they are in many ways different. One has wings and one has barbecue. They each have a signature food. One has wings and one has barbecue. Mm-hmm. And one is north and one is south and whatnot. But the truth of the matter is they are both smaller, poorer, not glamorous cities that don't have people flooding into them. Every yuppie doesn't want to live in Buffalo, and every yuppie doesn't want to live in Memphis. They have, for different reasons, economic struggles. They aren't booming the way, you know, that people worry about population loss and whatever else. And so they also happen to be really nice places to live. Mm-hmm. And I find, just my own personal experience, I've lived in Boston, and I've lived in New York, lived Manhattan, and I've lived in Miami, and I've lived in Washington, D.C., and I would take Buffalo or Memphis over any of them because, honestly, they're just easier. Like, I mean, people are nice. They're not in a hurry. It's more small-towny in a good way. And yet, in both cities, there's plenty for me. Like, I don't need to go to Broadway every night.
Mm-hmm.
There's plenty for me to do in both places. So they dump on it because they're not glamorous cities. It's the same, you know, same thing with Cleveland. Why does Cleveland get dumped on?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Buffalo does have the snow, and so they get to that too. But I don't think it's just the snow. Buffalo, you know, Cleveland gets dumped on, and it doesn't have Buffalo's snow, right? It's just
it
gets
does.
Dumped on because it's Cleveland.
Right.
And Detroit gets dumped on because it's Detroit. And basically – every non-glamorous Sacramento gets dumped on, and Starkville gets dumped. People like dumping on places, and
that's true.
I have never sort of subscribed to it because I've now spent more time in Memphis, a city that's getting dumped on, than any other place. I've been here since 96, and then and before that, the longest stretch of time I'd ever spent anywhere was in Buffalo, where I spent 17 years before I went to college. So I've spent most of my life in cities that get dumped on. So I'm kind of sensitive to it. And it's where I come by my chip on my shoulder naturally.
I understand. Hey, speaking of dumping on people, did you see what Jose Canseco did? This is a little off topic, but he just dumped all over A-Rod. Did you see this? So for those that are aware, A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez, got engaged to Jennifer Lopez this weekend.
Yeah.
Canseco wasted no time in letting the world know via his Twitter page that A-Rod had been cheating on J-Lo with, of all people, Jose's ex-wife, Jessica. Now, it is well established that Jose is a little crazy. And by a little, I mean a lot. He talks about aliens and time travel and looking for Bigfoot and all this weird stuff. However, Jeff, as a reporter, you would know this. He's also the one guy that blew the lid off the steroid era first, saying this is what was happening. Everyone was doing it. We all thought he was crazy, but then it turned out he was right. So here's my question. Do we believe, Jose, that A-Rod is cheating already or has been cheating on Jennifer Lopez? Or, well, there really is no war. Do we believe Jose or not?
I don't know. I have no.
A-Rod, I can't stand A-Rod.
I've
so
got no
like,
idea. I will say this. I saw a picture of the, someone tweeted out a picture of the ring, and they said.
Oh, yeah, $1 million.
Did she get engaged or win a Super Bowl? Like that's how big the diamond is.
$1 million is what that ring costs.
Well, the funny thing is that baseball, which, of course, you know, at one point he was a pariah.
Yes.
Suspended for – how long was he suspended? A full
just
year?
Just a year, yep.
Yeah, suspended for a full year. And he's back and in good graces. And
with some, and though. With some. Yeah. I think, honestly, and I was trying to find it. I don't know where you guys dug up the clip that every time that you say Chandler Parsons, Jeffrey hits, he's either –
acceptable douchebag.
Acceptable
right.
douchebag. It's, I love the, that because
woman,
that's perfect because that's A-Rod
yeah.
to a T.
Yeah, it's the
except
woman,
he's not acceptable.
It's one of the women who dated Chandler who came and visited, who was they're on a
I know who you're talking about. I don't know their
it's
name,
the dad
but I'm aware. Yeah.
Show. This is we're,
okay.
we are
oh, there you go. Oh, Hogan knows.
Who
was
it, Ben?
It was Chrisley. I forgot her first name.
Yeah, Chrisley. Chrisley. It's
Savannah,
it's
Samantha.
Something like
it's
that.
It's the father, and he was giving his approval for Samantha or whatever her name is, dating Chandler Parsons.
Interesting.
Because he said he's a douchebag, but he's an acceptable douchebag.
Oh, I love it. All right. Hey, let's talk about the Chandler Parsons Grizzlies. Team Convey, that pick, had themselves a pretty darn good weekend. They won Friday against Utah. Yesterday, they beat Orlando for their third straight. Jeffrey, it's an unscientific poll that I did, but it turns out that Team Convey the Pick is a lot more fun than Team Tank. Discuss.
Oh, well, it's not even close.
No.
Because
like, it's fun to watch the games. They're scoring points. They're actually competitive and winning.
Well, it's also, well, I mean, Team Tank, and I said this, is you're rooting for, by definition, you are rooting for your team to lose.
Right.
Right? And
yes.
So, like, that is, in the end, what's the fun? There's no fun in that.
No.
It's a pain that must be paid. But then also there was a great schism in the fan base. And so Team Tank, A, involved pulling for your team to lose, which nobody wants. Mm-hmm. And then B, it also conjured up this great schism in the fan base or caused because there were some people who just didn't on principle think you could should ever tank. And so we had the schism in the fan base, you're rooting for losing, et cetera. Now, Team Convey the Pick, ultimately, what you are striving for isn't a hell of a lot of fun because it's the right to give up your first-round pick this year.
Yep.
And so sort of foregoing one of the routes to improvement this year. But
it's finally getting out from under, right?
But
it's like you're going and you're paying off your gambling debts. You're not leaving Vegas with any money, but you're not broke and nobody beat you up and dumped you behind a dumpster.
There's no thinking person who doesn't understand that this is the best thing. So there's no schism in the fan base except for a few. This is Gary's show. I can say this because he calls people stupid. Except for a few stupid people who don't understand, everyone else in the fan base understands why you go ahead and convey the pick this year. And so there's basic unanimity in the fan base, and it involves cheering for winning. And cheering for winning is more fun than cheering for losing.
Yes.
And lately they have been doing some of it. Plus, the other thing is that with the departure of the core four, obviously three of the core four, you need in the end, and this is what happens in sports, is that you ultimately need, Freddie Lynn retires, and then you need someone else to latch on to. Big Poppy, but they, the Big Poppy retired. You know, you need.
Look at you with all the Red Sox references. I love it. I love Freddie Lynn too.
Tony Armas. Yeah,
he wasn't beloved. I mean, he was a home run hitter, but Freddie Lynn was. He was beloved.
A lot of dingers that one year.
He did, but I'm just saying, like, you just mentioned two of the most beloved players in history on the Red Sox.
Freddie and Poppy were two of the most beloved. That's exactly right.
Except my dad hated Freddie Lynn.
So you got to go from oil can boy to Pedro Martinez. Is that right?
Look at you. Yeah, that's nicely done.
So, and so you need new characters, is my point. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is, obviously, we understand that Jaren Jackson Jr. is going to be a character. But, you know, in addition, I mean, Jonas Valanciunas is a fun dude because he's just so massive. And I mean, we played a clip this morning. He did curse on the air, but in the postgame yesterday. But he has this sort of just he's a giant. He's a giant who's lovable. And so there are these new characters emerging. And I think there's almost no chance that he won't be back next year. I think he is an option for $17 million or something like that. I imagine he'll either opt in or else they'll work out an extension with him. I think he'll probably opt in. But so he'll be back, and he's a – so along the way, and I think it really is critical for the franchise that, A, they convey the pick, but that, B, we're building up sort of reminding people that this can be fun and that it's fun again. And instead of just staggering – I mean, they're going to have ticket renewals are going to be sent out soon.
Yeah.
Instead of just staggering to the finish with another season of misery – these moments are going to remain in people's brains and encourage them that there is a future after the core four. And I think that's all for the good.
And even that, like I said, just the idea that it's like it's a necessary evil. This is what has to be done. Like, for us to get healthy, we got to hack off. It's like, what was the movie where the guy had his arm trapped in the rock and to escape?
That's the one I didn't.
Oh,
did he cut off his arm with a pocket knife?
Yeah, pocket knife, chops off his arm, and he lives. So that's like the good part.
This is very much a cut off your arm with a pocket knife season. There's no question.
Yes, it really is. But it has been fun to watch.
It's all to the good. And it was just, I mean, yesterday was just fun. Apart from everything else, it's great to see Mike. I thought to see Mike Conley.
He looks like he's
so
having
happy.
Fun again. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Would he rather be in the playoffs? Sure. He would rather be in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
I think, I don't know if you put truth serum, if he would have preferred to be traded or not. Really. But he's here. He's classy. And he's all in. And when you saw him get that steal yesterday, it might as well have been a game seven.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he reacted.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's infectious. I think everyone, you know, I don't know how you could have watched the fourth quarter yesterday and not enjoyed what you were seeing. It was a lot of fun.
Before we move off the Grizz, what do you think they do with Avery Bradley? You have any sense on what they're going to do? I mean, he's been terrific since coming over from the Clippers. He's doubling what he averaged with them. They have a team option for him next year. I think it's just shy of $13 million. You think they're interested in bringing him back, or do you think that he wants to hit the road?
That's the problem, is that you can – it's not whether he wants to hit the road. It's whether you really believe he's worth $13 million, $13 million.
Right.
And you can let him go for two on your cap. Or so. Mm-hmm. The thing is partially guaranteed. So I suspect obviously he's playing well. But they've got Dylan Brooks, who will be presumably healthy next year. You know, it's possible. Let's see what he does down the stretch and see what other options are out there. But I sort of defer to Chris Harrington on these matters. And Chris has always believed it is more likely that they will conclude, not that he wouldn't be a good player to have at $4 or $5 million or whatever, but that at 12 or 13.
Too much.
That's just not a good expenditure of money.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think there's a, you know, and I think they'd be very happy to have Noah back perhaps, but I think no. I think you look at this team and people are like, well, you just bring this team back and then you add the three young guys who were gone and whatever, and we'll see what they can be. Well, it seems unlikely that Noah's going to be back.
Yep.
It seems unlikely that Avery Bradley's going to be back. C.J. Miles will be back, probably. He's got another year.
Can we get rid of Holiday?
He's an unrestricted. Holiday is an unrestricted. Delon Wright is a restricted free agent. He'll probably be back, depending if someone else throws a huge amount of money at him. And he's really good as a backup point guard. But then, of course, the other question is, will Mike Conley be back? And we don't know about that. I think one thing this has done is it has made the Grizzlies – people are complimenting the Grizzlies, and I think justifiably so for what Valanciunas has become since the deal. But I also think that what they didn't do in the trade deadline is as important as what they did do. They didn't feel compelled to trade Mike for pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And now, even if they do move him, and I don't know if they will, but I think they'll talk about moving him. And even if they do, well, what's happened? A, Mike has proven, presuming he gets through the rest of the season healthy, how good he is, how healthy he is, and by the way, how effective he can be mm-hmm. playing at this pace,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
So, A, and then B, the Grizzlies have proven that they're not just folding and giving him away for pennies. You know, they made that clear at the. So if you're gonna come for Mike Conley, you're gonna have to come with a significant offer. And so, I think those are. It suggests to me that if they do put him on the market again this summer, people will A, understand what they have to pay, and B, that he's worth probably what they have to pay. I think Utah looks silly for not. If in the end the stumbling block was that they didn't want to throw Dante Exum in the deal, I think they look stupid for making that decision. And I think, you know, people will be evaluating it that way going forward.
How about the Holiday trade? That thing still sticks in my craw. I don't know what they were drinking that night to give away. My goodness, he's not played well, and that would be
a
nice way.
Yeah. And it's why the front office still, I mean, you're still, they're going to have to address it. I don't think people have faith in it. But, like, that trade is just crazy. Two second-round picks at the deadline. Two what will be high second-round picks
mm-hmm.
for Justin Holiday. It just seems nutty. But anyway, it also was nice for JB. He's doing a good job, I think.
A nice birthday present yesterday with that win.
So it's been a while since we've been able to feel good about the Grizzlies, and it's fun to feel good about the Grizzlies.
Yeah, yeah, soak it in while you can, I suppose. All right, so the American Conference Tournament gets underway on Thursday for the Memphis Tigers. Today, Jeremiah Martin, a unanimous all-first-team selection. Do you think that he will win the AAC Player of the Year, and should he win the AAC Player of the Year?
I think he probably won't. You can make an argument, but I think in the end, you know, it will be Shiz because he's on the Temple has a, you know, you look at Cincinnati and Temple, and they both have had better years. And I think given three comparable players, I think probably the voters, I don't even know who votes on this. You know?
The coaches, we were just talking with Drew Hill. He said the coaches vote on it.
Yeah, I think you go with the player from the better team, don't you?
Unless your numbers are so incredible right. that you just can't overlook them. Yes, I think you do generally go with, all right, who was the best player on the best team that had that most impact for that team?
Right. And so, I don't think Jeremiah cares. I mean that as a total compliment.
Mm-hmm.
When he said, I'm the best player in the tournament, I mean, not in the tournament, in the conference, he meant, I have to believe that, right? And I have to carry myself that way,
mm-hmm.
and I have to play that way, and that's a responsibility I'm taking on myself to lead this team going forward. He didn't mean it as, you guys are slaw. What kind of idiot would think that anyone could be better than me? He really is a... humble dude, and
he's had a remark. I mean, we were talking about this earlier with Gary. It's been a really remarkable career when you go back and look at it. I was trying to figure out which game it was because I remember I can clearly. I mean, sitting courtside for it, when he took that three against East Carolina as a freshman. I want to say it hit off the side of the backboard. All due respect to Jeremiah, maybe it didn't, but that's kind of how I remember it. But that was was a terrible three that cost him the game against East Carolina, and that really was kind of like the end of the end. And everyone was at that point was like, yeah, Josh has to go. It's just not working. I mean, East Carolina was really bad that year. But anyway, to come from
– that is the year, I think, that I – it was after that game that I fired
That you fired Josh. Him for the first – now, probably wasn't the first time.
No, it was the first time.
Oh, was
it? I didn't realize that Jeremiah missed a shot in that game. That's true.
Yeah, he missed the game. It would have been the game-winning three from the corner. And, like, somebody else was – he was supposed to pass it in – it was just it was an ugly possession. At any rate, I'm not trying to bring it up to dump on him because I think what he's done has been incredible. So you go from averaging two as a freshman to now 23 in league play. Like, I'm trying to think of a Tiger that came in with as little fanfare and ends up leaving with his name all over the record book. Like, I don't know who that would be. It hasn't been anybody recently.
Since I've been here, I mean, the people who are great are the people you expect to be great. Now, Chris Douglas Roberts wasn't. Chris Douglas Roberts ended up as an All-American.
Right.
First-team All-American.
Yep.
So he had a better year than Jeremiah has had. He didn't have a better February than Jeremiah had, but he's a first-team All-American. He didn't come in as a top-10 player, but he came in as a top-100 player.
Yeah. He was still, like, people were aware that he was going to do big things
here.
He was going
to be good.
Right, yeah.
He was going to be good. He was not going to be... Again, I don't know what he was, but I bet he wasn't a top 50 player. I think he was between 50 and 100, I suspect.
That's probably about right.
So he definitely wildly exceeded expectations for that level player.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't just an afterthought.
Right.
Jeremiah Martin was an afterthought.
Yeah.
And an afterthought in a class that was filled with stars. And, I mean, clearly he was the one, 7-person class, and he was the least high. He had the highest, the lowest rating
mm-hmm.
of all of them coming into his career. And so, no, what he's done is remarkable. And it was totally appropriate that on Jeremiah Martin Day, mm-hmm. it wasn't his best game, and it wasn't the team's best game. He didn't shoot that well. The team didn't shoot that well. It was nice to see Tyler Harris have a little bit of a bounce back game, but totally fitting that he steps to the line. You know, they can lose the thing. And at the time he steps to the line, they are team 10 of 20 from the line. And he hit both shots, and that was that. And so Jeremiah Martin Day became the success that it was supposed to be. And that was fun.
GP and I were talking about this earlier. Almost a year to the day that the story surfaced that the Tigers were thinking of firing Tubby. Tigers were coming off a 19-12 season, much like they are now. But the difference is, pardon the pun, they couldn't be more stark than they are right now. I mean, doesn't it seem like such a long time ago? Tubby, regardless if he was getting fired, the fan base had checked out. He was dead man walking. There was no recruits coming. Like, it was just not going to work, period. Penny, meanwhile, has been everything that Tiger fans hoped that he would be and more, right? They've got a top 10 recruiting class coming in, the number one player in the country. He's proven to be a capable, if not whatever, X's and O's. Like, no one has been writing stories about, geez, Penny cost us that game. So it's amazing, though, the difference that a year will make, how we feel about this program and how the city feels about it.
Yeah. I mean, the excitement started truly 1 year ago. That's exactly it. If you stop and think back where we were, it was as soon as word started to trickle out, it was mania, and it has been mania pretty much ever since.
Yeah.
It has not – you would have thought maybe that it would have dimmed, right? It is not dimmed in the slightest. It continues as an absolute pitch of – I mean, the whole time. And tell me, what has the stumble been? Like, what has been the stumble? I guess you could – some people would say the stumble has been – when he told Rick Barnes to get the F out, right?
Some people, but not a lot of people in Memphis.
but not. Right, so some people said that was a stumble. I didn't. Some people. I mean, he didn't. I guess the biggest games he won were beating Wichita State on the road. That was a nice win, right?
Yeah.
He didn't win a lot of big games. But he certainly, I think, performed. I don't think anyone can say this team has underperformed.
I think he probably did what they were expected to do, right?
Yeah. And I honestly,
and they look well coached. There are things you question occasionally. I wondered in that game Saturday why he went back with Alo and Tyler, the sort of miniature backcourt, which hasn't had a whole lot of success over the course of the year. Didn't put Kareem Brewton back in, really. But those are the kind of questions people ask all the time about coaches, right? They second-guess coaches all the time, the best coaches. They second-guessed Tom Izzo and his use of Jaren Jackson Jr. That's what happens with coaches. So, sure, people can occasionally say, would I have done that, et cetera. But there's no macro, boy, he looks in over his head. There's never been a whisper of that all year long. It's been – he really has not, since this emerged last year – I don't think he's had a stumble.
I would concur.
Doesn't mean he won't someday, but he hasn't.
Yeah, certainly not fashion sense either, right? I mean, my goodness, the pictures of all the Tiger fans lining up for those shoes the other day, and he's getting articles and whatever people talk about.
Well, it's funny. I'm doing a piece right now on that I was writing when you called on people who have had their picture taken with Penny and. How many people he has had his picture taken with.
Oh, man.
And it is my contention that except for possibly Jerry Lawler, there is no Memphian who has been photographed with more other Memphians than Penny Hardaway or more other people than Penny Hardaway. I think those are the only two that could possibly be close.
Are we talking ever or currently?
Because
that guy in Graceland was pretty famous.
No, but see, Elvis, he had lots of pictures taken, but he lived at a time when everyone didn't have a phone in their pocket.
That's true.
Penny has more pictures of him taken every day with people. I'm talking about, arm around someone smiling looking into the camera.
Mm-hmm.
How many of those? I don't think every Memphian, I got my Elvis picture.
Right.
I don't think that's true.
I would agree.
Everyone has their "I got my Penny" picture.
Yeah.
I bet 20% of the population has a picture with Penny Hardaway. I asked for pictures; people sent them in huge volumes of people. And what they, to me, was remarkable is that you hear the same thing all the time. He could not. The phrase that is most used is "he could not have been nicer," and it's just simply true. Like he is unfailingly, unbelievably patient about doing this. He's embraced this side of the job and of his life. And in a way that is, we're putting together a gallery of these pictures at the Daily Memphian, and it's probably 150 of them. And in all of them, he looks like he is the luckiest guy in the world, flattered to be asked.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's been remarkable, the grace with which he's handled this whole thing.
Awesome. Is that tomorrow's story?
I think it's going up at some point. Tomorrow or Wednesday. I'm not sure. I haven't quite finished it yet.
All right. Sneak peek. We're the first to know. Thanks for your time today, Jeff. We'll listen to you tomorrow.
Thanks, sir. Yep.
Jeff Calkins from The Jeff Calkins Show. So we're a little bit late for it, but that's never stopped Gary before. So I think when we come back, we're going to get to my son's favorite segment, Ben Hogan, which is the four stories. We'll do that when we come back. Matt Stark in for GP, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously. But shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark. Fast like a Lambo.
Stark in studio. Ben Hogan across the glass with me today. Didn't have a lot of chat time with you, Benjamin. I know we've both been kind of buzzing about what's going on in the NFL. A lot of signings. Yep. Titans have signed, or will sign anyway, have agreed to a contract with Adam Humphries, wide receiver from Tampa Bay that New England was making a run at. Interesting point, though. Some big contracts, big numbers being thrown around. Your Raiders have made quite the splash, as well as the Detroit Lions. But somebody points out, because Twitter's the best. NFL teams that made the playoffs last season have combined to sign this many outside free agents today. And it's a picture of old Jeff Fisher holding up a zero. Something to think about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's interesting. It's just different ways of getting it done.
Different mentalities.
I like what the Titans did. I like Humphreys. We were talking about that earlier. I was talking about that with Bennett, how I was thinking they had a good shot at Antonio Brown, and maybe that could be a difference maker or could have been a difference maker for them. We won't know now because he's on the Raiders, but clearly you've got to keep surrounding Mariota with some more weapons and then see if he stays healthy. And then, you know, you see what happens this year, and then you decide if you're sticking with him or it's time to move on because he'll get a big contract from somebody, and you got to decide if that's you or if that's somebody else. So, anyway. All right, so my son loves this segment. Let's get to it. Four stories.
Four stories presented by the Bluff Restaurant and Bar. Four notable stories at 4:44. Gary tends to lose focus, start telling stories, and forget what he wanted to talk about at certain points every afternoon. So we've developed a device that ensures he'll touch on important things you need to know each day at this time. This is GP's Four Notable Stories at 4:44. Story number one.
All right, so we kind of talked about it a little bit with Team Convey That Pick. Grizzlies now have the eighth worst record in the NBA, just a game and a half out of having the ninth worst record, which would hopefully then help them convey that pick to Boston and they would get out from under. But here's the thing. They still got some work to do. Now, it doesn't mean that just getting to nine guarantees them the nine, but you would like to improve your odds, right? So they got 14 games to go. Let's rip through this, Ben Hogan.
All right.
And I want to get your thoughts because I already know what I've got the Grizzlies at. So I'm going to just win or loss for these following games. At Atlanta for the Grizz.
Win.
You think they're beating Trae Young. So do I. At Washington.
Win.
I got that one as a win as well. Houston.
Loss.
No doubt about it. At Orlando.
I think Orlando gets back.
I do too. They need it because they're still in the hunt.
Yeah.
So far, we're perfect 4-for-4 in agreement. Minnesota. This is at home, by the way.
I think that's a win.
Unless duly noted, I will say home or I'll just treat it as a home. Yes, I've got Minnesota down as a win as well. OKC at home.
Loss.
Yes. Golden State at home.
Loss.
Yes. Suns on the road.
Win.
I think that's a win too. Clippers on the road.
Loss.
I think so too. Portland on the road. If we run the table, this is going to be crazy.
Loss.
Yes, I've got that too. At Dallas.
I know they play Dallas. I think they split the Dallas games.
As did I. That's what I had them doing. I had them winning on the road, then losing at home or vice versa because I just think Dallas will take one of them. And then at Detroit.
I think that's a win. I'm going to say a win.
Okay, so that's where our roads have finally diverged. I got them down for a loss. Golden State in the finale.
That's at home?
At home.
I think that's a win because I think Golden State's resting their guys.
That's what I've got, too, because they'll have everything that they've needed to be done will be done.
Yeah, they're a game and a half up
they
on
They rest
Denver.
Everyone. They're not going to care. They'll be kicking it.
Yeah.
So, all right. So you had them going 7-7 then in the final 14.
Yeah, I think that's doable.
I had them 6-8. I wouldn't argue that. I don't think it's like we're talking crazy. 6-8 is like,
I think,
you know.
Detroit is also kind of set in their playoff spot by then. I mean,
okay.
There's a big difference between
easing guys down a little
and
bit.
And I think they pull away from Brooklyn a little bit. I think that they settle in at the sixth spot by the time they play the Grizzlies in the second to last game. That's the reason. That's my reasoning there.
And the teams that they're chasing, New Orleans and the Lakers, I don't know. I'm not going to break down their schedule because, you know, this isn't New Orleans or Los Angeles, but it's not inconceivable that either one of them go 4-10 the rest of the way. Like, they're both a mess right now. I don't understand what the Pelicans are doing with Anthony Davis. Like, that, none of that's made any sense to me. Like,
no one's figured it out all season what they're doing with Anthony.
That is just, it's amazing that it's come to this far into the year and they're still like trying to feel their way through it. It just doesn't make sense. So I think that's conceivable they catch them. And then the Lakers are just, they're just a mess. I mean, yep. LeBron's checked out, I think. They've got injuries, and I don't know. I think they got a good shot. Again, that doesn't guarantee them getting to the nine, but it would certainly help.
Story number two.
All right, so the Memphis 901 FC Soccer Club had a big night at the box office on Saturday. 8,000 strong, a sellout for their inaugural home game with Tampa Bay. Now, the Rowdies did get the result. It's a soccer term right there, Ben. I said got the result. You don't say you got the win. You say you got the result.
Okay.
They got the result, but 901 FC, it seems like they've tapped into, as we've discussed, a pretty soccer-hungry market. Memphis traditionally does well in the World Cup ratings. And then, you know, you got a lot to draw from. You've got the unique stadium in AutoZone Park, so that's kind of cool. You go in there in a baseball stadium to see it. It's something different. The visuals are striking. I mean, it's a very pretty stadium, pretty arena for what they're doing. And, I mean, the pictures were crazy. You got the guys out there with the road flares, or at least looked like road flares, whatever they had. You got your scarf wearing, chanting fans out there, chanting their soccer chants. You got the soccer moms and all their families, casual fans looking for something fun, something different.
Yeah.
And so here's the question. Long term, which has a better future in Memphis? Pro soccer or pro football, as in the Memphis Express? If I'm telling you, Ben Hogan, you've got to buy stock in one of these two companies today, given what you know, who are you buying stock in?
901 FC. I think I am. I think I'm buying in professional soccer. I had a friend of mine that went to the game on Saturday. Mm-hmm. He's one of those casual soccer fans. You know,
okay.
Comes out every 4 years.
Yep.
Sometimes every eight, depending on.
For the World Cup, something like that. I'm one of those people. I mean, like, I'm a soccer fan, but like I won't watch it.
But he enjoyed it enough. I talked to him, and he wants to go to the game this upcoming Saturday.
Okay.
Obviously, sure. You know, what the Tigers are doing. But he's interested in going back, and judging by everyone's reaction, I think it's gonna last. And also, you know, you got affordable tickets.
Mm-hmm.
The games are less than 2 hours, and it's nonstop action the whole time.
Yeah.
So I think it holds the people's attention span. It's fun. It's something to do. It's downtown. It's a perfect spot.
Yep.
It's the perfect time of year to do it. And most of the games are on the weekends. If you can get that rivalry with Nashville, they got a club as well. So you already got a built-in rivalry. So why not?
I agree. I think with everything you just said. And on the flip side, I'm not trying to dump on the Express. It's just, you know, I think that people at some point get footballed out. And I think we've seen that with some of the ratings that have come in nationally. And then based on the crowd that we've seen for those first two games, I know weather played a little bit of a factor. But, you know, newsflash, weather's going to be a factor at this time of year in Memphis. And, I mean, unless you have a star player that's driving it, I just don't know what the casual interest is. And if the ticket prices are what they are, I don't know. I don't know how the long-term success of that.
And I also think a problem is, you know, people still want more football once football season's over. You get it for about 3 weeks, and then all of a sudden you get the NFL draft combine, and then you get the NFL free agency. And it's just a reminder that the NFL is the big boy on the block,
mm-hmm.
and people already have their teams, and they're more interested in that, on what their NFL team's doing, especially if, you know, the team's not winning. They lost another heartbreaker this weekend yesterday in the final 2 minutes, but final seconds, really. But still, I just think it's going to take a lot to get people's interest for a full football season, especially when the NFL is doing all this stuff in the offseason.
Particularly when you've got fans like me wearing shirts like this, celebrating their sixth Super Bowl win. Like, I'm footballed out for a little bit. I'm good. I'm ready for baseball. I'll go watch some
baseball,
soccer. Other than that, I think I'm good.
Story number three.
Speaking of the NFL, as of noon today, the NFL opened up legalized tampering, that window in which teams could contact and negotiate with pending free agents, which is, let's be honest, been happening well before the window opened because of all the contracts that we've seen zipping all over the place today, people signing, not signing again, agreeing here and there. Trent Brown, starting left tackle of the six-time Super Bowl champion New England Patriots, cashed in, signing a four-year, $66 million deal with your Oakland. Or was it Las Vegas? No, Los Angeles.
It's Oakland. It's
Los Angeles.
It's Oakland this year.
Which are you?
It's Oakland.
All right.
This year.
Anyway,
year.
You signed into the biggest contract ever for an O lineman. And of course, the biggest news, though, came Saturday night. Antonio Brown succeeded in forcing his way out of Pittsburgh. Steelers trading him to, all right, did we say it was Oakland or Las Vegas or
it's
Los
Oakland.
Angeles?
He's more interested in Las Vegas, but it's Oakland for one more season.
He went to the Raiders for a third and fifth round pick. And here's the kicker for the Steelers. Not only did you only get a third and a fifth for arguably the best wide receiver in the league, he's still going to count for $21 million against the Steelers cap this year. That's more than any other wide receiver in the NFL. That's not good.
No, it's not.
Story number four.
I was prepared to have a little more fun with this story, and then I actually saw the video, and so I've kind of backed off that stance. Animal Kingdom, though, was in full force this weekend. A jaguar in Arizona at a zoo attacked a woman who had crossed a barrier to get closer so that she could take a selfie. The cat chewed up her arm, essentially, is what happened. Second time that cat has apparently attacked someone at that zoo. And, of course, the people are out. Oh, you gotta put the cat down and all this. Now, how about you stay behind the barrier?
Yes.
Now, that said, too, if it's the second time this cat's gotten to somebody at the zoo, maybe somebody at the zoo needs to build a better mousetrap. You know what I mean?
Don't be an idiot and don't go in the cage.
It ties into the story that Jeff was talking about, all the selfies with Penny. I thought of that immediately. But like I said, then I saw the video of her arm all chopped up, and I felt kind of bad. So, but just be smart, folks. When you're taking selfies, just don't be stupid. We're back with dinner to go.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Guests appear on the Smile Center Hotline. Now, back to the Gary Parish Show, live from the Bluff Restaurant and Sports Bar Studios on 92.9 FM ESPN. Today's special guest host is Matt Stark.
The hood got heavy metal like Slipknot. I hustle from a chain like a pit stop. I used to want to grip grain.
Love that song. Let's do Dinner to Go.
Dinner to Go is presented by Humphrey's Prime Cut Shop, a Folks Folly original.
It's Dinner to Go. What did we learn today?
I learned that when you take GP for like 40 minutes on the show, you don't have much time left for Dinner to Go. That's what I learned.
What's the biggest game tonight?
I guess UNC Greensboro and number 20 Wofford Southern Conference Championship game winner going to the NCAA. So check that out.
What should I watch on TV?
I'm a fan of Maine Cabin Masters on the Do-It-Yourself Network. Bunch of people talking about Maine, talking with Maine accents and fixing stuff. Check it out.
Is there anything I need to make sure I read?
Oh, well, Jeff's got an upcoming story on Penny Hardaway. I'm not sure when that's dropping, but keep an eye out for it.
What's on tap for tomorrow?
Oh, we got Gary joining us from wherever, Charleston. Mr. Easterwood's going to join us, talk a little basketball with him. Jeff Calkins at 5 o'clock. Ben's back. I'm back. Hopefully, you'll all be back. Have a great night, Memphis.
Thank you, friend.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!